Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hello, hello, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show here on Sunday night. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, and our guest is the amazing Fiona Joy Hawkins, and it's 1 o'clock there, Fiona, in Australia. This is a first for us. No, yeah, it is. Hi.
Wow. Hi. Thank you so much for having me on your show from 10,000 kilometers away, I guess it is. A long way.
Isn't that amazing that we can connect like this live on the radio from Maine to Australia?
I know it is from down under where water goes in the opposite direction even.
You're going to, oh my gosh. Okay. So I have so many questions about Australia aside from just everything, but anyway, okay. So I'm going to direct people to FionaJoy.com and FlowTheGroup.com as we're talking in case they want to learn more about you and so forth. And then you are on Twitter. I just tweeted out, we're live with you. You are Fiona Joy Music on Twitter. And we'll put some other links out too. You got social media everywhere, but are there any other websites, or those two are where we should direct people?
Yeah, and I think wherever people listen to music, they'll certainly find my music. So it's all over the place.
So you are a mainstream composer, pianist, vocalist with a really big following. This is an international following, so this is just a treat. Thank you so much. I'm just so excited, and I'm going to get tongue-tied and not know all the things that you know and all that good stuff. But we promised to cover for my lack of knowledge of the complete music industry like you have. But you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show so badly is because you have done amazing things for people during the pandemic. Can we just start there? Because I'm sure, like everybody else, your world is upside down from live in-person events and all the good things that you have done for years and years and years. How have you adjusted?
Well, and it even started before the pandemic, because Australia had bushfires back in December and January. So that was how we started off our year. And then we went into the pandemic after that. So it was a double whammy. You know, firstly, we had to cope with just the horrors of those bushfires and the fact that we lost, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like a billion animals in the fires. It was just absolutely awful. And I had to kind of think, you know, what can I do to survive this emotionally? How do you get through this? And for me, the only way that I could really cope with it was to try and do something positive, you know, use my music to raise money for wildlife and firefighters. So that's what I did.
I love it. You have live streamed concerts. How can people join in on that if they want to?
Well, I'm live streaming from Facebook, from my music page, which is Fiona Joy Hawkins Music, because when the pandemic started, of course, I couldn't tour, and probably a third of my income was from touring in China and the US, and that completely dried up. And I thought, well, okay, so I've got a piano in my living room, I have an iPhone, and I can just live stream. So that's what I started doing. And it's been a wonderful thing to do, because I've been able to reach out to people that are stuck at home, people that need to connect and listen to music. And the beautiful thing about live streaming on Facebook is that it becomes like a little, kind of like a little family event where everybody that joins in can chat to each other. And I have my PR person, Beth Hilton, she moderates, and everybody says, hi, how are you going? And how's little Apollo? And everybody knows everyone's pet's names. And people can connect there every Friday. It's Friday Sydney time in Australia at 11 o'clock, which I think is Los Angeles around 4 o'clock. In New York about 7 o'clock, and everybody joins in, and yeah, and just, I don't know, you feel connected even though you're stuck at home by yourself.
Do you like that better than a gigantic auditorium or stadium like that?
I'm not sure if I should answer that question. I shouldn't say this, but I actually prefer to play live because there's just nothing like that energy that you have in a live space, and that feeling of having an audience and knowing when you've done okay and they clap. Whereas when I'm playing at home, even though I know I'm doing something good for people that are stuck, I don't have any feedback from them. So I finish the song and it's just me and the iPhone, you know, and you think, okay, so you feel a little bit sort of self-conscious because you don't know what the reaction is at the other end. So I have to admit, I prefer to walk onto a stage and play for a live audience.
Yeah, I'm not sure I prefer either one of those. I've had the worst trouble with, well, not really, but I'm okay in either one. But the Facebook one, when you go Facebook Live, to me, it's a little bit odd because it's just people sort of, unless I haven't figured the technology out right, it's people typing comments to you rather than actually talking back and forth.
Yes, it is. And because I'm playing the piano while they're typing, and Beth sees it all and she types back to them, but I actually don't get to see anything. You know, I'm just doing a concert as if I'm on a stage. So it's a really different feeling, don't you think? Doesn't it feel completely different when you do it?
Yeah, I do agree with you completely. You know, one of the things, as we go from audio into video, one of the things that I'd love to schedule with you is a little Zoom. So we could have like a little private best ever you concert or something like that. It could be so absolutely adorable because Zoom is different. Zoom, people, you know, we would mute microphones, but they can actually see you. And then at the end of it, Everybody can actually talk to you and so forth. Do you do that at all?
I just discovered Zoom, but I haven't used it for music concerts. I've been doing a couple of music classes because I figure, you know, during this whole pandemic thing, when we're stuck at home, I thought I might as well kind of educate myself and find some other sort of industry things to learn. But I would love to explore Zoom a lot more.
Well, maybe we can be your testing ground. we're a real safe, lovely group of people. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be heaps of fun, yes.
I think our group, our Best Ever You community, would really love it. We've got that one. We've got a conversations group with about 4,000 people in it. And
wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. And so it's, you know, Chris and I run that group, and we are, I wouldn't say we struggle for content by any stretch because we've got, you know, many hundred writers on besteveryou.com. But I think I keep wanting to do more interviews like this, only live and on video with members of our community. Even if it's just 10 people or whatever, it's still, then you can post the video after, and it's just kind of like a little, it's a treat to have somebody like you do that. So
do you find it's different doing an interview to what you normally do with, you know, consulting and training and speaking and being an educator? Is it a completely different direction?
It can be. My wheelhouse is, I'm a journalist, so I have a journalism degree. So I think my wheelhouse rests with interviewing people and so forth. Uh-huh. Rather, I've had jobs where I've trained people and stuff like that. So, you know, I can go back and forth, but I think I really love, I'm fascinated by other people, and I'm fascinated bringing the people I'm fascinated with to other people to show them and teach them and things like that. Because I think that you really never know whose life you touch. when you, you know, like if I brought you into the Best Ever You community and we did a video, you have no idea who you might inspire. Could be a little kid, a grandkid, you know. I just I'm fascinated like that. You never know.
And for me, touching somebody with my music, and like you say, you don't know what the reaction is going to be, but that's such a huge thing. I had a woman once who ran up on stage at the end of a song and hugged me, and she was crying and she was thanking me because the song that I'd done had touched her life, like it meant something specifically to her. So you're right, you never know who you're going to reach and who you're going to make a difference to.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you, okay, so what's your latest album?
It's called Moving Through Worlds, and it's taken me, I was recording it across 3 years, 6 recording studios, 2 countries, and even 2 pianos. So it was quite a large undertaking, and finally it's released, and it even survived through the bushfires and the pandemic, and it came out in July, and it seems to be helping people, which is lovely. That's all I can ever hope for, is that it touches somebody's life and makes a difference.
And what is it about? Like, if you were going to tell us why it's called Moving Through Worlds, you know, give us some insight into it.
In a nutshell, it's called Moving Through Worlds because in terms of both the timing in my career, everything I've gone through, for instance, there's one song I wrote when I was 12 years old called For the Roses, and I wrote that for my grandmother's funeral, and then it goes right through. There's a 44-year time span, so you can guess my age from that, right through to being in the recording studio and an improvisation on the day. So that's kind of, the simplicity of a young composer's writing compared to the sophistication of an impressionistic improvisation by a seasoned musician are worlds apart, and not just musically, but also in your maturity and your thinking and the storytelling that goes with maturity. So I think the idea of moving through worlds was really just about literally covering all of those changes through my whole life, I guess, and even including the bushfires and the pandemic. Everything seemed to have just rolled into this album. So there's a lot in it, a lot of issues that I've covered, and all of the tracks are sort of telling stories. Each track's got its own little story to tell from a certain period in my life, I guess.
Do you find, now this is sort of a leading question because I think the answer is yes, but do you find personally to you that people have slowed down so that they can hear you better right now? Do you find you're reaching people more?
I think so. I think we were all stuck on a merry-go-round, and I felt very much like life was a little bit of a merry-go-round, and maybe that's the silver lining of the pandemic, that we have been able to kind of jump off that, and maybe things are a little bit, I don't know, a little bit quieter, and we can think a little bit more. So I agree with you. Yeah, I feel like I've jumped off the merry-go-round.
Yeah. How important are, I want to make sure I say his name right too, because I haven't said this out loud before, but Will, is it Ackerman? Did I say that right?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Yes. Will Ackerman.
We don't want to mess his name up, but I didn't check with you beforehand. And then Tom Eaton.
Yes.
How important are those two people to your life and success and career?
I think particularly Will Ackerman, because he was the founder of Windham Hill Records, has probably been the most important influence in my life, really, or certainly in my music career. Absolutely, because as a child, I started writing, very, very young, when I was 8 years old, and I never quite knew where I fitted in. And I moved to America when I was 21 with my husband. I was married very young. And I heard George Winston for the first time, and that was when I learned about Will Ackerman and that he had produced him and that he had Windham Hill Records. And that was the first time where I felt my music had a place, like I belonged somewhere, where there was actually a name for what I did. And it's new age, you know, and I feel very much like I belong with that world and that group of musicians. And Will Ackerman, because of Windham Hill, paved the way for so many musicians to have a sense of belonging. And when I first met Will, and he was so encouraging and wanted to really help me, because I was just I'd grown up in rural Australia. My first three albums were recorded on a keyboard. I had never recorded on a piano until I arrived at Will Ackerman's studio. So he really plucked me from obscurity and helped to sort of put me out there and break my career. I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for Will Ackerman.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. Yes.
If you hadn't met him, what do you think you'd be doing?
Gosh, I really don't know. And it was a close call too, because I remember emailing him once and saying, you know, I'd really love to be able to talk to you about my music. And I heard nothing back and I was so disappointed. And
isn't that the worst? Wait, isn't that the worst feeling?
I know, talk about that.
You think I'm nobody. I know, and I don't matter. Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
And then I read somewhere he said there are 3 million George Winston wannabes in this world. And he said that he had had an email from every single one of them. And straight away I thought, okay, that's me. I'm not going to hear from him because that's me. And then I was a finalist in a piano competition for the new age genres. And I heard from him. He emailed me and he said, Fiona, I think you better come over here and actually record on a piano. So I went to his studio and that was when I recorded Blue Dreams. So what I would be doing if that didn't happen, I have no idea. I would not have found my calling in life. I wouldn't be the person I would hate to think. I couldn't bear to think about what would happen if I hadn't met Will Ackerman.
Yeah, that's how important that is to you, huh? The whole moment and him and everything, yeah. There's always
defining moments in our lives, you know, and those, it's a sliding doors thing. If you don't grab those moments, if you don't allow them to define your life, you know, they can just slip by you. You've really got to look for those moments for sure.
Yeah. What advice do you have for the millions who don't hear back from somebody like him or him?
You have to believe in yourself. If you are driven and passionate about your career and it's something that you truly love, you have to believe in yourself, because there are so many people that will try and pull you down along the way. And I had that too. I had to sort of overcome quite a bit of that along the way. So just believe in yourself and keep going, because there will be opportunities. If it's meant to happen, there will be opportunities.
I like that. If it's meant to happen, there will be opportunities. What about Tom?
Tom Eaton is just absolutely amazing. Tom and I and Will work together, and we can almost read each other's minds. You know, one person goes to say something and then Tom actually just does it before you've even said it. It's like we're all thinking the same way. And I think that's got a lot to do with Will and how everybody expects the recording process to go. You know, we've all sort of learnt from Will, but yeah, Tom's amazing, an amazing engineer, amazing set of ears. So I'm very grateful to have met him and be able to work with him. And there are other wonderful people I've met along the way as well, like Cookie Marenko and, you know, Corin Nelson. But I've been very blessed to work with a number of incredible people and even, you know, wonderful session musicians too. So I consider myself very lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you do you ever feel this way? Like when you do something creative that you can't reach people fast enough? I don't know how to write. I still don't quite know how to phrase that right. But sometimes I
like
feel like
you
I'm.
Feel like, yeah, like you've done something really special and unique, and you almost panic because you don't know how to get it out there, how to reach people. You think, I know this is special. I know this is good. I think I've done something. I think I've done it, but how do I know? How do I get it out there? I get that feeling all the time.
I do too. I really do. I mean, I've got a new little kid's book out, Pinky Doodlebug. And I'm just going to say it out loud. It's the cutest little book and everything like that. But I feel that way. Like how it's the marketing part of things. And I really want to talk about this. I don't really want to talk about necessarily for my specific thing, but I just want to kind of relate it because I feel this way a lot. And I love advice. And I think so many people might be tuning in. People tune into our show for a variety of different reasons. They may love your music, but a lot of people tune into this show for the how'd you do it? How do you do it? Why do you do it? What do you do? You know, the nuts and bolts of actually doing something cool. Yeah. And so we get a lot of authors and musicians and things like that. But the marketing part, it's one thing. Don't you think? Go ahead. I'll be quiet. Go.
Totally. I completely agree with you. You have to have different hats, but you can't put the marketing hat on until you've created the art, because you have to have total integrity in that art. Like you've just done with your book. You've written the book. You love the book. And then you've got to somehow take that creative hat off, because the two don't mix. They really don't. Put the marketing hat on and then go in that direction. And when that marketing hat's on, you are in a different mind space. So you don't get to be creative. The only real confusion for me is when you're doing something like a radio interview, where you have to have both hats on, because you've got to be creative and talk about the creative world, but you also have to have the marketing hat on, because you have to think in terms of how do you reach the audience. But they are different hats and for different times, and but creating is the most important part of it.
It's just really interesting. But sometimes you can feel, I noticed this one thing, it's like such a common theme with people I interview, is that they kind of ride a little roller coaster of feeling successful, unsuccessful, you know, accolade. Yeah, and it sort of comes and goes depending on what they do, and some projects won't see success and some will. And can you describe that a little bit? Because you have a lengthy career and experience with this, I'm sure.
I think that's the nature of creative people. It's the way we are. You know, we question ourselves. We're a little bit fragile. We take the world around us in, because we're storytellers. So we're taking everything around us in and telling a story, whether it's a piece of music, you know, synchronicity, whether it's art, whether it's poetry, whether it's a children's book, whether it's music, we're taking that story and putting it into an art form so that it reaches a wider audience. But in that process, we're so fragile that often we're quite sort of, I don't know, it's an emotional roller coaster. One minute I think I'm doing okay and I'm really happy, and then the next minute I think, oh, it's dreadful. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm an imposter. It's up and it's down. And you just want to be even keeled and just, you know, live your life in a straight line. But you know what? Storytellers don't live their lives in a straight line. They're up, they're down, because that's where the stories are. So you have to embrace that, and you have to understand that, or you are not a storyteller, I think.
No, I think it's wise advice. Now, you get to correct this, you have a lot of awards, over 100 awards, I'm reading.
Oh, do I? Probably.
I knew you were going to say that. Humble. Hang on. I guess. This might make a little bit of a noise to anybody listening. I got to move. I have my glasses on, and headphones and glasses aren't mixing very well. You can't see me, but that's what's going on. You've got like 100 awards. And then you've got a song, Grace, that was on a Grammy winning album in 2014.
Yes.
And you've...
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so we have, I'm going to keep going here, because you've won two categories. It's cool. Two categories of the Independent Music Awards at Lincoln Center in New York, which is a cool place. Can't wait till I get to go back to New York again. I love going to New York.
Me too.
I love New York. Yeah, and I just can't wait. Yeah, I'll tell you a story in a minute about my traveling. And then you just have so many things. You've got Best Piano Album, like Global Radio Chart. Do you have like a room of awards or a wall, or under your pillow at night? Like, he was my favorite one.
I started putting them sort of, you know, out on a, it's not a mantelpiece, it's just down in my office. And then after a while, I got sick of dusting things. So most of them are just sort of packed away. But the other day I was doing a live stream concert and I had to find something to put the lamp on. You know, when you do a set for live stream, okay, and you've got, you know, your flowers and then you've got your light and your lampshade and your painting and you're creating a set. So I had to have a space to put a lamp on and I needed to lift it up about a foot, about 12 inches. And so I got all of my ZMR awards, and I flattened them all out because they're really pretty, they're really lovely, but they made this sort of beautiful sort of display. You couldn't tell what they actually were, and then I put the lamp on top of it, and they look really pretty. So that's where they all are at the moment. They've got a lamp sitting on them.
Perfect. Yeah, dusting them all off.
They don't really mean a lot, to be honest. And it's not that I mean to sound ungrateful, because I'm not in any way. But the most important thing in my career is when I get an email from somebody and they say that to bring them out of their depression, or I help them sleep at night, or their mother is in hospital and she's dying of cancer and all she wants to listen to is my music. And that means more to me than any award.
So I feel the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, when somebody holds up my book and says, hey, I'm in Brazil or whatever, and I just read this book and it helped me change my life or whatever. Yeah, no, completely get it. The little gold sticker on the outside of it is like, yeah, it's great, but what really matters is that smile on your face. It's cool.
Exactly. And that's the integrity about what we do. You know, that's why we do it. We do it to try and share what it is that we do, I guess, rather than, you know, sitting up there on some sort of pedestal, you know, winning an award. It doesn't matter.
I get it. But it means that I do think awards, to me, awards mean you get to work harder. I do. Awards sometimes frustrate me. I'm like, oh, no, now I got to really work even harder to earn. Do you know what I mean? Like, and not to earn another award, but to validate having received that award.
Or when you go on stage and whoever's announcing you says, and this is Fiona Joy Hawkins, and she's done this and this, and she's won that, and she's had a song on a Grammy winning album. And then you walk out on stage and you think, no pressure. What am I going to do? No, I'm going to have to play super, super well now after all of this.
So funny.
So I think the higher you go as well, the more expectation there is and the further you have to fall. And when you live a lot of your career on the stage, there's a big responsibility with that. You know, when you walk out on a stage and there's 1,000 people sitting there watching you, you've got to be good. You have to be good. And the more expectation that's placed on you, definitely it's a lot harder.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, I've heard you. Yeah, no, I get it too. Especially, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about this too, because a lot of us are doing things at different ages. You know, I'm not 20, I'm not 25, 30, 35, 40, 45.
Oh, you look 25.
So do you. I know, aren't we amazing? So more like 51. Yeah. And, you know, and we're doing things. When I was a kid, it was like, no, things stop at 40, you know, or whatever. And we're doing things later on in life and we're not giving up and we're continuing on and we're growing and all these things. Do you want to talk about, you know, the aging part of this?
Well, I'm 57 in January and I've been very, very lucky because I've always looked really young right up till about the last 6 years is starting to catch up with me in a big way. But I don't really care. I actually don't mind too much because I've seen so many people do really dumb things, you know, like have plastic surgery that just makes them look, it's just all wrong. And I'm not against plastic surgery at all. I think sometimes it's absolutely wonderful. But too many people have just done that whole panic at getting older and have just lost track of what's important. And what is important is to age gracefully with or without plastic surgery, but to age gracefully, to understand that the wisdom that you've gained from your age is the most important and wonderful thing, and it's not about what you look like, you know, like you've earned those wrinkles. So embracing them is kind of a nice thing for me anyway.
Well, I have
to embrace them. Yeah. I've got no choice.
Well, I think the alternative sucks. So you might, you should, you know, kind of thing. I think the goal is, I think people have the strong, I think the goal is to age, you know, and we're always fighting it. And the goal is to actually age. And I never quite understood
it.
Isn't it?
It's a privilege to age. It is such a privilege, yeah. They're hard-earned, those wrinkles, and they come with wisdom, and they come with life experience. And I don't know, I sort of feel more settled within myself as an older woman than I did when I was a younger woman, to be honest. You know, like you look in the mirror when you're younger and there's no wrinkles, and sure, you look pretty. I mean, all young girls do. They're beautiful. But as you get... as you get older, you just embrace those changes and the maturity, and I I quite like it. I feel smarter now.
Oh, I do too.
I feel more clever.
And, well, I think you can hear it in your voice too, and you can hear it in just one of the things you said. You're so comfortable. You were able to, you know, rearrange your awards and put a lamp on them. It's comfy. It's a comfy zone, you know. And that's rather than, you know, do the alternative, which would be to have the whole wall filled with all of them, all shiny and all this stuff, and look at me mode. You did something completely different, and they're subtly there, and you know they're there.
Yeah,
and
I put a lamp on them.
I love it.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
So all right. So what can we find at FionaJoy.com? I noticed people can. I think. You are the site where we actually mooch something from you, and I think it was like the buy me a cup of coffee thing.
Oh, did you? Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah, we totally mooched your idea and put it on ours. We're like, that is cool. And I was trying to tell you that before when we were scheduled, and I'm telling you now, my friend and I took that idea from you. We used it. Thank you.
Yeah, they should have a buy me a glass of wine as well. I think that's a good idea too.
Yeah, anything, flowers, whatever you want to buy us, we're good.
Yeah, it's great. It's worked well for me. I had to try and figure out how to monetize streaming because you do a concert and you sometimes you're playing. Sometimes it's 1,000 views. I had one concert that had 130,000 views, and I thought, wow, okay, I've got to monetize this. And I don't want people to pay to see my online streaming concerts because I'd rather, if people can't afford it, that they give absolutely nothing and that I reach people and that they just watch it. But for the odd person that can afford it, I wanted to monetize it. And that was the one of the ways that I did it. So I put that link up, you know, buy me a coffee or go to Bandcamp and a concert tip jar. So they're good ideas for monetizing whatever it is that you do.
Yeah, it's fun. We were like, all right, and people have bought us coffee. We're stunned. We're like, well, thank you. Totally cool. Yeah, so thank you for that. Yeah, we monetized a few things. We're like, that's pretty neat. So what's next? Like, what's going on with you right now?
Well, I'm in the recording studio today, and the producer and Rebecca Daniel, a violinist that I work with, and the producer and the engineer were all just waving at me as they were going out to lunch, like, bye, see you later.
Sorry.
So they've all gone and left me, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm perfectly happy here, and they've set me up, and they've given me a cup of tea and a bowl of chocolate. The mind boggles. They've given me, I think it's Lindt chocolate, actually. So
yum.
I'm perfectly fine. But I am working on quite a few projects. I'm always sort of recording, live streaming, just sort of working out, you know, working on the next project. I'm thinking what's coming out next. I just put out Christmas Joy, and it's on all the streaming platforms, so you can listen to that and find that. And I've got an album called Heavenly Voices, which is coming out with Blue Coast Records, with Cookie Marenko as the producer. And that was recorded live in San Francisco back in the day when we could travel.
Yes.
Which is just
travel.
I travel. I know, I travel. Mm. Sad. Mm.
I started, tell me about the start of your 2020. I would share mine first. So I started out 2020, and so I'm a mom of four boys. They're adult, you know, they're a little older. They're so I don't have little kids anymore. I used to, though.
Yeah.
They were like 2, 4, 6, and 8.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, four boys wow. each 2 years apart. So now this year they're turning 19, 21, 23, and 25.
Okay.
And yeah. as the littlest one went to college, my husband and I were like doing the we're going to travel dance, you know, like, yay, we're going to go someplace, you know, kind of thing. And so we started out the new year going to California a few times, went to North Carolina. One of our sons plays college baseball. So we were down in North Carolina watching him. And then we came back from that trip and we got, you know, ring, come get us from college. We have to come home. The college has been shut down, pandemic, you know, all that stuff. And so everybody moved back in. And I don't know about you, and I'm grateful everybody's okay. But 2020 was supposed to be a little different. I remember at the end of 2019, all of us were like, yay, 2020, woohoo, we're going to do cool things. Travel,
yeah.
do this, do that. How about you? But now here's the thing, though. Pandemic, let's just put the pandemic over for a little bit. It's been there have been moments during this year that I never could have had without the pandemic. It's just such a bittersweet kind of feel. What was your 2020 supposed to be like?
Well, I was supposed to be in the UK. My husband and I were going to go over there and spend 3 or 4 months because he was born in Whitby, so which is in York. So we were going to go and spend a little bit of time over there, and obviously that didn't eventuate. But for me, there's been quite a few silver linings, like getting off the merry-go-round just with having a million things happening at once. I got to sort of simplify my life. The other silver lining has been that I've grown a vegetable garden. I've actually started growing veggies and concentrating on things like, you know, cooking and all those things that you do at home and painting the house. And totally different year. The pandemic, who would have guessed this would happen in 2020? We would never have guessed this.
No.
You know, and I was in China. I was touring in China and I was in Wuhan in, I'm just trying to think, it would have been October last year. How close was that?
Yeah, we were in.
Oh, close.
I get it completely. And we were in, there were no travel restrictions. We were in California, no masks on, no anything, going back and forth through the, you know, everywhere from November to March.
I know I've sort of been looking at the figures of what's happening over there in the US, and it's pretty serious. In Australia, we've been very lucky, but that's the beauty of being a small, isolated island. That you know, that we have a lot less of it over here. So who knows where it's all leading to? The odd silver lining is a good thing, but it's hard to find the silver lining sometimes, isn't it?
I'm sure it is for quite a few people. So that's why we talk a lot about finding gratitude and things like that. And we've kind of been encouraging people, like when they feel like that, when they feel like they're stuck, or when they feel like they're stuck in their house, or they're depressed or whatever, to really pick up the pen or whatever it is that might be an outlet for you, and focus in on 5 really good things. Five blessings. Just 2, 1, whatever it is, but really to kind of pull yourself up and out of that kind of thinking and just sort of flip it a little bit. And I call it the gratitude flip, just to flip it and think about something else when you feel that way. But I get it. Okay, so I want to talk about Australia. Can we? Can we talk about Australia?
Talk about Australia.
I have to tell you one more tiny little story to make Australia make sense for me. So when I was in third grade, I had a teacher, Mrs. Bettis, who was absolutely fascinated by Australia. And so she taught everything. I never would have known Australia the way I know it. And I've never been there. I still want to go. she spent a whole year teaching us as much as she could about Australia. I'm certain it wasn't in the curriculum. I know it wasn't in the curriculum. because I know all the animals and the, I mean, we would, oh, and I saw that picture of you with a kangaroo. Oh, is that a kangaroo?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I used to be a wildlife information and rescue officer, and I used to raise kangaroos, but this is a while ago. I'm just trying to think now, it'd be nearly 20 years ago. But our wildlife is something special, you know, koalas and kangaroos and platypus. And, you know, we have some pretty special and amazing and interesting animals over here. And it's
wombats.
Yeah, it's a completely different country. And I can say that because I spend so much time in the U.S. and I love the U.S. and I've got so many beautiful friends over there. But it's just very, very different places. And yet we've got the same size country. The footprint of our country is almost the same as the footprint of yours. But we, you know, we have a lot more sort of probably sunshine, I guess, than what you have. You know, we don't get a lot of snow here. And and we don't have anything like your population size. We're a lot smaller.
Yeah. Do you... always fascinated by all the animals, I guess, and all of it. It from the reefs to the sharks to the one creature I had to do my little report on was the wombat.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah,
they're so cute. For anybody who doesn't know what a wombat give us the rundown on what a wombat. That's my pronunciation of it anyway. It's a wombat, right? Did I say it right?
Yeah, wombat. Yeah, they're just these little round things that just kind of waddle, you know, and they go into holes. And during the bushfires, apparently a lot of the wombat holes were inhabited by other animals, and multiple animals escaped the fires by going into the wombat holes. So they came, which is pretty amazing, because that's what they do. They sort of, you know, burrow into the side of a hill or, you know, down into the ground, and they create these amazing labyrinths of tunnels underground, and that helped a lot of animals to survive.
Good.
I can only imagine how many animals would have been down there all at once. But if ever you've been to the zoo and looked at wombat holes and how they burrow, you know, when you look through the glass and you see the dissection of their little, you know, you see them in there, they're so cute. But yeah, they go down a long way. So
they're the most adorable thing. Yeah, wombats are so cute. Yeah. Now, are they actually friendly? Do you know? I have no idea if they're actually friendly or not. I don't think I'd want to go hug a wombat or anything. But
I don't.
A koala
think so.
Maybe.
They've got teeth. They have teeth. Wombats have teeth. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm good.
Koalas. Koalas are just gorgeous.
Yeah, what I saw in the news were koalas that were burned. It was like, oh no.
The bushfires were devastating. And koalas are, they're not heading towards becoming, they're quite rare in certain parts of Australia. But we lost a lot of them. It was really, really sad. A lot of people are adopting a koala and, you know, doing lots of sort of fundraisers to try and, you know, help look after them. But very, very sad. And they're such lovely, sweet animals. They're very slow. And I think that was why so many of them were affected by the fires, because they don't move quickly. And they also instinctively go to the tops of the trees to escape anything. And of course, going to the top of the trees to escape a fire is the wrong thing to do.
Wrong direction. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wrong way. Yeah.
I can't imagine them in with the wombats though, but yeah. No. No.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Are they ever, they're not mean at all, are they? They're just pretty peaceful creatures.
No. They're really lovely. And there was actually a lot of incidents of koalas going up and, you know, crawling up somebody's leg, you know, during the fire and being hand-fed water. And, Yeah, they're just a lovely animal. They're just beautiful, and they're sort of slow and cuddly. And you know, when you see the handlers with them in the zoos, you know, they just snuggle up to them. They're beautiful.
Yeah, that's so cute. That's why everybody wants to go there and hug one. Now, I knew we couldn't do this show without talking about. I was like, I'm going to try and do this without talking about my love of Australia and animals, but I'm just not going to not do that. Sorry. So thank you for that.
That's okay.
Is that your favorite? Like, what's your favorite animal there? Is it a koala?
I love Australian birds. I love magpies. Ooh. I love galahs. And I also love roos.
Wait, what'd you say?
Particularly, I love
magpie
roos,
and what?
As in, a magpie and a galah. Galahs.
How do you spell that?
Pink and gray. G-A-L-A-H.
Oh, okay. Galah. I'm going to Google that. Galah. Okay. Yeah, and then you said roos.
Yeah, and roos. I like the eastern greys the most. I've hand raised quite a few of them. They're a little bit more timid than some of the other types of roo, but they're just really, really beautiful animals. And just everything about you know, their survival mechanisms and how they can. You know, how many joeys they have and how they raise them. And, you watch them with their joeys and they're so beautiful. I woke up this morning and I looked out the window and I saw a mother and a joey. And it's really beautiful to watch them. Yeah, it's lovely.
Were they eating your garden?
On my Facebook page.
Were they eating your garden?
Yeah. They were eating.
Were they really?
Yeah, they were.
No.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Oh. Yeah. And what do they eat in the garden?
Well, mostly they just sort of eat the grass, but you can tell that they've been there, you know, because from all the roo droppings everywhere. But they're so sweet. Yeah. They're really. Oh, I'll post that. I'll share the photo across to my music page, which is public, and then if anybody wants to have a look, they can see the photo from this morning.
Oh,
I think there's about
cute.
Five or six roos. Yeah, they're lovely. I really love them.
I might have to write another children's book.
Yeah.
As I'm talking, I'm like thinking, okay, I write about animals in everything I do. I'll have to think about this. Do you have any interest in singing at all for us, like totally on the radio, or should I just like abandon that idea? Because one thing I did not do was queue up like MP3s to play.
No, you didn't. Okay, well, when I sing, because my genre is predominantly New Age, we use voice as instrument. So a lot of it is, you know, long sort of layered vocals, that ethereal sort of sound, you know, Enyurish layered vocals. So I don't really do a lot with lyrics as such. So probably, you know.
Okay, no. Yeah, no, that's what I thought you'd say, but I just wanted to make sure I asked at least, because I had not queued up all, you know, various things. I didn't know what you wanted me to do there. So I view this as like our first time getting to know each other, and I hope you'll come back and we can do more things. So what about Christmas Joy? Tell me about that one again. I love, what's Christmas Joy?
Joy is, I like to think that there's no cliches on the album. You know, I've got Jingle Bells with Didgeridoo. I've got Still, Still, Still with Paraguayan Harp. Walking in the Air is sung in Gaelic. So it's really quite sort of interesting and different. It's mostly instrumental, but once again, voice is instrument, apart from the little bit of Gaelic. And I'm singing on that album. I don't sing on all of my albums, but I do enjoy singing. And I got to sing with Heather Rankin, you know, from the Rankin family. She is absolutely amazing. She sings on the album with me. Just thinking who else I have, Alfredo Rolando or Tiz playing the Paraguayan harp. And a lot of interesting instrumentation that you wouldn't necessarily expect. So it's probably one of my favorite albums, Christmas Joy. And I like Christmas as well. So.
Oh, I love Christmas. Yeah. I'm on your website. Fiona's website, everybody, is FionaJoy.com. You have a lot of, you have a lot on here. I mean, really,
I know,
truly, there's a lot on
website.
Here.
Yeah.
You have
there
Fiona
is.
Joy
there's
jewelry.
A lot there.
T-shirt.
I know.
Okay.
I know, I sell it in China. I take it to China, and because the girls there, which is amazing, because a lot of the parts from the jewelry come from China to Australia, is made into jewelry, and then I take it back to China and I sell it. And the, you know, Swarovski crystal bracelets with, you know, with a little love heart with Fiona Joy on it. And yes, it's really sweet jewelry. It's a lot of fun.
Now, on the car, can you paint or draw? Because there's cards, or are those just things you're interested in? Are you an artist as well?
I can.
Huh?
I am
okay.
An artist as well. Yeah. I'm not a great artist, but I just love it. It's a lot of fun. I love working with color and design, and particularly with abstract art. So yeah, I do paint.
These are beautiful. So
thank
little.
You.
Okay,
thank
hang
you.
On. I'm clicking. I'm clicking as we're talking here. do you have paintings that you sell, or in your house, or?
I do.
I know.
I do.
You're so
and
talented.
I never have time to concentrate on it. So I think I put some photos up as a gallery on my website so people can go and have a look at the paintings. And if anybody's interested, I can always, you know, send them some photographs of works that I currently have. I'm always trying to do too many things at once. You know how it is. You sort of start doing something and then you go off on a tangent and you do another album, or, you know, do a Christmas album or whatever. And
it's talent.
Things at once.
You have talent. I have a cat in the background. Her name is Mel, and she's the podcast kitty. And she's playing with a bird that is squeaking in the background.
So I can hear
I know. I was like, I can hear it too. I'm like, okay, for anybody listening, that's Mel. But people kind of tune in to, like, see what Mel's going to do. And if it's a good sign, because if she doesn't come out while we're on the radio, she's hosted like every show and she can hear you. And so when she comes out, she's a feral cat that is getting used to everything. And she must really love you because she has brought all of her toys out for you to play with.
Sweet.
She can hear your voice.
Well, I love cats. Absolutely love cats. And my cat, she was an RSPCA rescue cat. I've had her for about 8 months now. She made her very first appearance on my live stream concert, the one that's just gone past on Friday. So you actually see her on there. She's just beautiful. I just love her to bits. When we got her, she was 17 months old with a 12-month-old kitten. And the kitten was
cute.
Bigger than her. It was the saddest story ever because she was, you know. But we've taken her in, we've fattened her up, and finally she joined me to help me host my live stream concert. So I know how
yeah,
you feel. They're lovely.
That's what I've got. Yeah, she's looking at me like now, like hello, you guys need to play with me. And yeah, it's pretty funny. So anyway, that's cute. And so animal person, she must sense it. Okay, let's go back to your music just a little bit more. Tell us what is next for you, where we should listen. I heard you say every Friday night, but I want to go through it one more time. And
yeah, it's actually Thursday night in the U.S.
Oh, Thursday.
Because we live, we live in the future in Australia. We're ahead of you because I've... So right now, what time is it there? Because it's
9:53.
Okay, so it's Monday. It's Monday, 1 o'clock here. So we're the next day. So when I do my live stream concerts on a Friday, it's Thursday, either 4 o'clock in LA or 7 o'clock in New York.
In Eastern.
So,
okay,
yeah,
yep, that makes sense. I'm in Maine. We're Eastern, so.
Yeah, you're on the East Coast. So I'm doing my live stream concerts. You can listen to my music, Spotify, Tidal, Pandora, wherever you go to listen to music. YouTube, I love making videos on YouTube. I think that's a lot of fun. I think in my next life I'm actually going to be a film director. One more thing.
That's
to
cool.
Do.
No, I could. That blends the art and the music, so I could see that. But don't wait till your next life. Yeah. You know, you got to maybe do that. Do more of that now.
Yeah, I think I've left my run a little bit late. I don't know anything about it, but I certainly enjoy it enough to be able to make my own music videos anyway. So I love YouTube for that. But I'm just really looking forward to getting through this pandemic and having life go back to normal and being able to travel and come back and see all my friends in America. You know, I've got my PR person, Beth Hilton, Beth and Wendy, who, you know, I just want to get back and see everybody and also make sure everybody's okay. I do worry about a lot of people because a lot of people have gone very quiet at the moment and I don't hear anything and I have to go check, you know, are they okay all the time? So I just want the world to go back to normal.
Yeah. You know, and some people are quiet because they need to be.
Yes, that's how they cope, maybe.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, or they've found something they like to do that's so different than what they were doing before. There's a lot of interesting reactions right now to how people are moving through.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing cooking classes, online classes, art classes. They're doing things they've never done before. They're, you know, joining a gym. Well, actually not joining a gym, sorry. They're doing yoga classes, Zoom yoga classes, that sort of thing. And so I think we're all, I know I'm learning some new skills. I'm doing a music synchronization course, which is a huge deal. You know, it's a lot of work in that, but this is the perfect opportunity. You know, the world has slowed down a little bit, so it's a good chance to get educated.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to think of the things that I've done this year. I think one of the things that I've done is learn to play chess.
Ah, I've never done that. Apparently, it's very good for your brain. You know,
it is so much fun. It's super intimidating because you see those, you know, like all the people who can play chess 20 moves ahead of everybody and they're way smarter than, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there are just so many simple things where you can just play chess and play with the computer and no one knows how bad you are starting out. And I learned one of the ways I learn is to lose. So I will intentionally move a piece here or there to see how it gets, you know, gobbled up quickly and I lose, to see how the moves are made and how the pieces move and things like that. So it's been really super fun to learn chess.
So you're only playing with the computer at the moment. You're not playing with other
and
people.
And I'm actually playing.
Wow.
On the Roku, I don't know if they have a Roku there, but, you know, the TV, I'm just, like, actually playing. Our TV in our living room, it has a Roku hooked up to it, R-O-K-U.
Right.
And so you can download apps to the TV. And I downloaded a chess app, and I've just been playing chess. And
Isn't
that funny?
I've been watching a lot more TV, you know, a lot more Netflix, and I've been watching The Outlander, which is...
Love that show.
It's fabulous. It's, the Scottish accents, aren't they wonderful?
Beautiful.
They're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, we all want an accent. You have the coolest accent already. Really? You want a different accent?
Yeah, I want a Scottish accent.
Gosh, super funny. You've got a great accent already. Like, I love your accent. We're all kind of doing the same thing there. And then, so what's music synchronization, though? Is that music production?
That's you know, pitching music for licensing and, you know, films, games, advertising, TV. Mm-hmm. It's a whole, it's a little bit like the difference between playing tennis and golf. You know, they're both sports, but they're completely different directions. So I need to kind of learn that world and the jargon and the, you know, the legal side of it and, you know, how to navigate those waters, you know, publishing and all that sort of thing. So it's a lot to learn but I'm enjoying it. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so cool. Like, so your music gets actually applied to different things. It could end up in a commercial or a movie or whatever. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So it's one thing to have the music, but then you've got to put that other hat, that business hat on, and find placements for it. You know, in fact, you've actually got to put the business hat on to find ways to monetize the music in any sense at all, you know, whether it's just sort of releasing it through a digital aggregator to, you know, to Spotify and Pandora and Apple
iTunes.
Hoping
people buy
Amazon.
It, yeah.
Yeah, so there's all these different aspects of music business, and I quite enjoy the business side of things, which is lucky for me because as an independent artist, you really have to know all of that. So it's a good chance. That's one of the silver linings, is that you have more time to educate yourself and learn how those things work.
Oh, I just learned something from you right there. Thank you for that. We're going to go into record mode, so don't worry about the timing notifications. We'll go about a minute longer to finish up. But, you know, as you were saying, music synchronization, I'm thinking like author and photography synchronization, like anything that you are creative with, the use of it, rather yeah. than depending on people to purchase it or whatever, mm. It doing something. Yeah. I had one of my pictures used in a movie. It's like the cover of the movie. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. I get it. Yeah. So placement of I've had one of my books yeah. appear in a movie and a photo in a movie. Like there's yes. that's what one of my goals, like I have more goals for that, like where your book is actually in a movie. Like I think that's super cool. So, like if a character's reading your book in the movie, I'm like, no, that's a twist. But sometimes so those are paid placements though.
Yes. Yeah. So we call it sync licensing. And I mean, there's so much jargon too, you know, soups. And a soup is a music supervisor. You know, who would have known?
I'm learning
all the jargon so I can sort of move in those, in that world, you know, and understand how to pitch my music. Yeah. It's a lot
to it. Oh, I bet. Yeah. We're lifelong learning. All right. Fiona Joy Hawkins, it has been so lovely to meet you and be able to speak with you and learn more about you and all of your amazing talents. I hope you'll come back, and I hope you'll, I know I was talking to Wendy about maybe having you write or do some videos or something like that for our website. I think that'd be so much fun.
I would love to. Just let me know what you need. And thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely chatting. I've had a lovely time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So that's amazing. That's Fiona Joy Hawkins, everybody. her website, fionajoy.com and Flow the Group. And it has just been wonderful to be able to speak with Fiona live from Australia for the past hour. That went by fast, didn't it, Fiona?
Oh, my gosh, it has. We've been speaking for 1 hour and 1 minute.
Yeah, perfect. All right, everybody. Thank you. Thank you again, Fiona. Thank you, Wendy, for arranging this. And thank you all so much for listening. And I think I kind of want to leave this with like a heartfelt thank you to Will.
Will Ackerman, I think so.
Yeah. Hmm. Doesn't it feel like that? That's a cool moment. I don't know. That just seems like such a beautiful thing to have somebody believe in you and find you and be so pivotal, you know, like a, I don't know. I don't know. Pivotal. Is pivotal the right word?
Mentor.
Instrumental.
Mentor.
Yeah. Instrumental.
Exactly.
There you go. Instrumental in your life. There you go. I love it.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. All right, everybody. Take care. Thank you again, Fiona. Thank you all for listening so much to the Best Ever You show.
Bye.
And again, thank you very much. Remember, we're grassroots here at the Best Ever You show. So this isn't funded through, advertising and things like that. And so when we do have guests on, we really appreciate all of your downloads and your embracing our guests to the fullest. I love you guys for that. We wouldn't have so many million downloads on a radio show without that. So again, fionajoy.com, flowthegroup.com. And let's give Fiona a huge Best Ever You. Thank you and welcome to our community and embrace her. So thanks everybody for listening. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.